Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 223.
Today, Cheyenne asks, I fancy myself an intellectual, but not a genius. I tend to write intelligent characters because they have the most interesting things to say and the best responses to situations, I admit to prejudice. While I have a strong grip on dialogue, body language, and dialect, one can only fake it to make it for so long. How do you write for a character whose IQ level slash education is higher than your own? Surely everyone who ever wrote about a character with a degree in neuroscience is not a brain surgeon. Well, actually, Cheyenne, fake it till you make it is the order of the day. There's only a very particular kind of story where you need to be as expert as your expert characters. And those are the stories where your characters are operating in an environment where they're surrounded by peers in their own expertise. If they are not operating in an environment with peers who share their expertise, then their interlocutors are going to be dumb people. I don't necessarily mean they're actually stupid, I just mean that they don't have the grasp of the topic that the character in question has. So they're going to be talking to more normal people, which means they're going to be sort of dumbing down their areas of expertise to explain them to the lay people, which is fantastic for you because that means you can use popularizations of particular things in order to acquire the dialogue to have your character speak, and your character can still look like they have a thorough command of the topic. If it's integral to your plot or it's something that's really important to you, you can always get an expert to review the books. As long as the book is well written and you have a little brass and you're willing to deal with some rejection, it's fairly easy to find experts that are willing to look at your books for a byline or for the sake of art or that sort of thing. It can take some persistence, and it does get easier the further along you are in your career, but it never hurts. I mean, there are colleges everywhere. Walk into a college and say, help! You'll get some eager grad student or a professor who is desperate for a break in the routine who will be able to help you out. And if you've been at this for a while, you'll likely have attracted fans who correspond with you and correct you on things that you got wrong. Keep files of those people because they are the people that can help you when you find yourself writing over your head. In terms of just characters who are generally more intelligent than you, observing the ways in which that sort of person is more intelligent than you will tell you what you need to focus on. Finding people like that in real life and talking with them, or better yet, going to places where they are among their peers and listening to them talk to each other, either about their areas of expertise or about normal human stuff, will give you a window into their worldview, into how they think and how they approach things. There's a gestalt that comes with certain fields of study. It's like a culture that is fairly invariant from person to person, even as the people are as different from one another as anyone else is. And it's in the same way that Americans are all similar to each other compared to Britons, and Britons are all similar to each other compared to Germans, and Germans are all similar to each other compared to Japanese people or Hindi people or whatnot. Getting a grasp on the in-culture and the way that they think and the sorts of reasons that they have weird priorities compared to normal people, and working that into every aspect of their character is another way to achieve that verisimilitude. I've said it before, but it really is important. For this level of characterization that you're talking about, the best thing you can study is worldviews. Studying different worldviews from the point of view of those worldviews, and studying the phenomenology of how a worldview works and gets put together. There are gobs and gobs of fantastic resources on this stuff written from all sorts of points of views. Sociology of religion is actually a really interesting place to look for some of this stuff. Believe it or not, Christian apologetics literature, some of the more scholarly stuff is fantastic about this because it's about studying the differences between the worldview of the author and the worldviews of the people they're trying to evangelize. You'll also find similar stuff in Jewish cultural scholarship and things like that. You want to be looking at the way that culture and epistemology and first principles of someone's life, for lack of a better word, affect the way that the lens with which they view the world is ground. Learning to slip into the shoes of other people who see the world in a qualitatively different way than you do, and then convey that view as seen through their eyes, is one of the ways that you achieve verisimilitude in situations where it otherwise simply wouldn't be possible. But do remember that what we do, all of it is fake. All of it is fake it till we make it, and we're never going to make it. We are telling lies for fun and profit. We're taking people on journeys of fantasy, and what matters is that the illusion holds. Other things to study, cognitive biases, the ways that people are fooled. I learned an enormous amount from studying stage magic, photography, con artistry, and visual effects. All of these are disciplines wherein the entire job is to fool the audience, or the target, in the case of con artistry, into being convinced of a reality that isn't real. And that's what we do as writers, so studying these other fields is really, really useful, and I highly, highly recommend it. So both learning to understand the worldviews of others in order to be able to slip into their shoes and characterize well, and studying the ways that you can fool an audience in order to cover up the gaps in your own knowledge and take them on a journey that has the illusion of integrity that holds together in spite of second and third thoughts on their part. Those are all really, really useful in tackling the kind of stuff you're talking about. That was a lot of stuff to dump on you, so if you want me to delve into any one of those particular points, just write back and I will do what I can to elucidate and make it a little more accessible. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.